All right. Well, this study found me. I didn't find it. And when Tony told me I was going to be teaching, it didn't take long for me to end up here. And what's awesome about this study is that it fits right into what he's been teaching on Sundays. And it's a difficult message because, again, it's my second time I've ever had to do this in this format. But it's also a difficult message because it's one of self-examination for each one of us. And I know that's hard. It's hard for us to look at ourselves. And basically, if I had to give this a title, and the title of it is, It's Time for a Spiritual Heart Checkup. And, a healthy spiritual heart, the first point I want to make is a healthy spiritual heart produces fruit. But there's three heart conditions that prevent the development of fruit. And we're going to look at those conditions tonight. And one of the things that I want each one of us to do, and of course I had to go through this study myself, so there was a lot of examination in my own heart and life. But I want you guys to be the cardiologist. And you're going to be diagnosing your own heart. You're going to be looking at your own heart. And I want to make sure that the wives understand that you're not going to go through this message examining your husband's heart. Husbands, you're not going to examine your wives. This is for each one of you to look at your own heart, to see where you're at, to see whether or not you're producing fruit. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at, so you can already turn to Matthew chapter 13. If you want to turn there, go to 13 and then put your finger over into Galatians chapter 5. And we'll get started here. And for this checkup, again, you're the cardiologist. I want to keep that in mind and focus throughout the whole study that you're the examiner and you're also the patient. You're going to be, again, looking at your own heart with the purpose of diagnosing any problems that may exist. And then we're going to look at treatment. And by the way, I don't want to have a debate after this study as we go through this parable as to whether we think these people are saved or not. If you want to debate me afterwards, it only proves that you weren't doing any self-examination during this teaching. So don't come up to me after this and try to debate me about whether any of these first three people that we look at are saved or not. Because, quite frankly, after I became a Christian, I found myself through all three of the parables of the sower, all three conditions of that of the heart that we're going to see, I experienced as a Christian. So each one of us can be stuck in one of these modes. So with that, we're at Matthew 13. And I want to back up just a little bit and review chapter 12. Jesus had been confronting evil spirits. He had been confronting the Pharisees and Sadducees. And he was surrounded by a multitude. And I want to back up just one bit, and she had the Wendy had the verse up here, 2 Corinthians 13:5 and Galatians 6:4. Paul says to examine ourselves. So I know I already messed up, so hopefully I'll calm down from here on out. But so that's our point. We're going to examine ourselves. So Jesus had been confronting the evil spirits. The Pharisees were in his face, the Sadducees, and just a multitude of people were around him. And his mother and brothers had heard a bad report about Jesus, and they were seeking to lay hold of him because they thought he lost his mind. And some of the multitude had brought to Jesus' attention that, hey, your mother and your brothers are here, and they're trying to get a hold of you. And he said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And then he looks at the crowd. Here is my mother, my brothers, those who do the will of God. And that's important to understand here because after tonight, and what you need to understand, what he's saying right there is those who are closest to me in a relationship with me are those who do the will of God. And we need to keep that in focus tonight because at the end of this, you may be required by the Holy Spirit to do something. And so it's the doers that actually draw near to Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind, too. So let's jump in here. Then Jesus speaks to them in parables. And I believe, and Tony covered this a couple of weeks ago when we started the book of Revelation, and he explained a little bit why Jesus spoke in parables, but I believe it's a tool that Jesus used to expose the heart of the person who hears it. It's a sifting tool. And it's Jesus has said a lot of hard things to cause us to reflect and think. But one of the interesting things, if you look at verse 15 of Matthew 13, he says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them." It's important to understand here that the people had, their ears had grown dull. Literally, they'd become callous. They didn't want to hear anymore. They didn't want to hear truth anymore. They didn't want to see truth. They didn't want to see their condition. They didn't want to hear about it. And the razor's edge of this study is whether or not you understand. Now, it's not your understanding that is what the Lord's after, because some of the things he said were very hard. But the razor's edge is the understanding. If you don't understand the parable, then your next step is to determine whether or not you want to understand more. And that's what he was doing by using the parables. And if you notice, many people walked away. He said something hard and they turned and walked away. And that just proved the condition of their heart. So tonight, as we look at these four conditions, and actually, you know, I was telling Hugh and a few other folks earlier in the week that I actually, with each condition, I found at least two people in each condition, two different types of people, and it's based on this understanding. So the understanding, the aspect of it, is not so much that you understand it, but that you want to understand it. The people did not want to hear. They were tired of hearing. They didn't want to see. They didn't want to hear about their condition. Is that you tonight? Do you want to see? Do you want to understand your heart condition tonight? And if you do want to understand, then there's a lot of things that you might have to do tonight. If you don't want to understand, then it's going to be a real struggle for you for the rest of the night. Now, God's purpose is for us to bear fruit in our lives. And Tony brought that out this past Sunday in his teaching, that after salvation, God expects something out of our lives. And he expects fruit. And so one of the first things that we need to understand, and he said in John 15:16, he said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain." In Romans 7:4, again, Paul says we should bear fruit to God. So let's look at, and the way we're going to do this in this parable is we're going to look at the first condition and then go right to the explanation. Instead of reading the whole thing through, we're just going to look at the first condition, the first heart condition, and then we're going to jump over to the explanation. So let's go ahead and let's look at and read Matthew 13, verses 3 and 4. "Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed some seed, some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them." So now we're going to jump over to the explanation of this. In Matthew 13:18-19, he says, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside." Now, it's important to understand the wayside. Now, we know that the seed is the word of God. But and we also know from other studies of Scripture that the birds represent demons and evil spirits. But the wayside is actually the condition of the heart here. Now, the wayside, if you think about, if you put your mind in the Middle East right now and think about the farmers back then, and even now, even in this day and age, they have pretty rudimentary implements. You'll see a man that's falling behind a donkey pulling a plow, and he's not only plowing at the same time, but he's sowing seed at the same time. And it's a little wooden stick with a little bit of steel on it, and you know he's got to be very careful with it, and he plows and he sows at the same time. Well, notice that in this parable, in the first part, that some of the seed without intention hit the wayside. Now, this is the condition of somebody's heart, and maybe somebody's heart tonight. Now, again, the understanding is the fulcrum. It's the pivot point to whether or not you're going to produce fruit or not tonight. So, again, if you don't understand, but you want to, that's a good sign. That's a step towards wanting to produce fruit. If you don't want to understand, that's a bad sign. And you want to stay in your condition. And that's not good. So, doctors, are you ready? The signs and symptoms here. And by the way, signs, if you have anybody that's in the medical field, EMTs, nurses, anybody? Nobody at all, huh? Wow. I was an EMT for a long time, retired firefighter. And signs are things that you see as an examiner. You look for signs. Signs of would be, bleeding, obviously, open wound, broken leg. Those are signs. Symptoms are something the patient tells you. So we don't have any symptoms in this whole explanation tonight, but we're going to have some signs. So doctors and patients, here we go. The signs and symptoms. Notice the condition of the heart is like a wayside. It's literally a hard path. Luke 8 says that the seed itself is trampled down. If you study the parable of the sower in Luke 8, the seed is actually trampled down. So what's happening here, the diagnosis is the person has a hard heart. It's impenetrable. The Word of God cannot penetrate. It just bounces off this person who has this condition. And there's two reasons for this condition. And basically, what's a path for? What's a wayside for? It's to walk on, right? So this heart, the first heart we're looking at, is a heart that's been walked on continuously, beaten down. And I'm sure that there's somebody here who may feel that way tonight, that your whole life you've been walked on, whether it's been a spouse or a mother or father or family member or neighbor or whoever. But you just seem like you've been walked on, trampled on your whole life, and you've got a hard heart. And the seed can't even penetrate it. So now that you know that and you realize that, we can start dealing with it. Now, some other signs and some symptoms here of a hard heart is, number one, you won't let it penetrate your heart, and I'll get to that in a second. But some symptoms is angerness, bitterness, complaining, backbiting, stubbornness, resentment. Those are coming from the heart of the person. Now, this heart, again, like I said, has been trampled on. Now, there's two reasons for the trampling. And the way I look at it is like this. This heart has been run over and trampled on. And the analogy I want to show you is it's like a kid being in the front yard, minding his own business, fenced in, and happy playing in his front yard. And suddenly the kid has a desire to cross the street, climbs over the fence, walks out across the street, and boom, he gets run over by a car. Okay, his choices, he went over the fence, he left the protection of his yard, he went out in the street, and he got ran over by a car. So he's become hardened, or she has become hardened, because of your own choices. Okay, the other aspect of this is that a kid's playing in the front yard, and there's a car driving down the street, and that person is making choices in that car, texting or whatever, and they leave the roadway and they run over that kid who's in the privacy of his front yard. There was no choice on that kid's situation there. He got run over by somebody else's choice. And that's the way you might feel tonight, that you know, either you made some bad choices in your life and you become hardened because of that, or because of the way somebody else, some of the bad choices that other people have made, they have run over your life and you had no choice in that. So now, if you feel like you've had a hard heart, there's some treatment that we want to go over. But before we go any further, I forgot to look at the fruit. So jump over to Galatians chapter 5 really quick, 5:23. And again, the whole purpose of this study is we're trying to determine if we're producing fruit, and if not, why are we not producing fruit in our life? And the fruit, first of all, we need to know what the fruit is. So Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law." And in Ephesians 5, 8, 9, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." So that's the fruit that God wants to produce in your life. It's love. Okay? Now, the opposites of those are hatred, sorrow, conflicts, impatience, meanness, faithlessness, no self-control, irritability, and on and on. So I've showed you the opposites just to kind of as a flag to look at your own heart and say, man, is some of that happening in my own heart and life? And so anyway, let's get back to the treatment here. So as a result of you making bad choices or the result of someone else making bad choices, your hearts become hard. And some of you might blame God. In fact, the kid who was run over, minding his own business, staying in his yard, the car leaves the roadway, runs him over, was minding his own business. And you might blame God for the reasons why your heart is hard tonight. And the problem is that you don't want to hear about the message of forgiveness, because that would require you to forgive those who ran over your heart. And that's a hard place to be. And I know that there's been a lot of, I've met people who just do not want to hear the gospel message because they know that they have to forgive. And they don't want to forgive those who have run them over. And so that's a difficult place to be. And so they don't even want to understand. And so those people just move on, and typically you won't find them in church because they don't want to hear the message. But maybe tonight, you know, you're here and your heart is a little bit hard. The Word of God has trouble penetrating your heart, and its reasons is because you've been crunched, you've been ran over. Now, what's one way to make that hardened path soft? Well, it's dry, number one, right? It's dry and it's hard. Doesn't have any water. You all know what happens to Arizona mud, right? Arizona clay. A little bit of rain and it turns to mud. Well, in the scriptures, it says that I lost track of the verse. But anyway, Paul is talking, writing, and he basically relates the Word of God as not only the seed, but also the water. And I think it's in 1 or 2 Corinthians, someplace in there. But anyway, so the seed, the water, and the seed are the same. It's the Word of God. And it can also be the Holy Spirit. The Word can also be Jesus. And so all of that together, the way to make that hardened heart soft is exposure to water. And it's the Bible. Okay? So in 1 Corinthians... that's where it's at. 1 Corinthians 3, 6, and 7, it says we find out, that's where we find out that the seed and the water are the same. So the first treatment for the person who has a hard heart, and it's been, you realize it's been hardened, you came with a hard heart, and you know you've been ran over, but you don't want to stay in that condition anymore. The way to overcome that is through the Word of God. Okay, you must come to Jesus. You must soak up His Word and do it whether you feel like it or not. Now, in Joshua 1:8, it just basically says there that you, Joshua is in that verse, it's talking about that you must do according to all that is written in it. There's again that doing part, that doing aspect of God's Word that we talked about before. So, again, tonight, some of you, if you want a changed heart, if you want a softened heart, you've got to expose it to the Word of God and then do it, not just hear it. And James talks about, you know, not deceiving yourselves by just hearing the Word, but do it also. In Psalm 119, 15, and 16, it says, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So, again, it's the word of God that's going to help that condition. And, you know, so if you've realized you've been ran over and you do have some hardness, you have a hard time understanding God's word, keep exposing yourself to it. Keep, you know, receiving that water, that moisture, and eventually it's going to get soft. You know, I just think about a dirt clod. You know, if you splash a gallon of water on it, most of it runs off. But if you take that dirt clod and you put it in a glass of water, it takes a lot less of that water, but it just soaks in. It's the amount of exposure time to that clod that's going to have the impact. So keep exposing yourself to the Word of God. Even if you don't understand it, keep reading it, keep studying it, keep trying to memorize it, and keep trying to do it, and eventually your heart is going to start to soften. And then you're on your way towards producing fruit. So let's look at the second patient. And I'm supposed to remind you it's your doctors and patients at the same time. So here we go. Let's read Matthew 13, 5, and 6. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Now let's jump over to the explanation of this, which is in verse 20 and 21. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. So notice there's a certain level of hardness here too, but it's a different type of hardness than the first patient. And notice this person can't take the heat of being a Christian. And those are hard words. Tony talked a lot about persecution this past Sunday. And, you know, we may be headed down that road. And, in fact, last night in the Bible study, we were talking about persecution. We were, again, reviewing Revelation. And, you know, what I did early in my walk, as I told the group last night, I sabotaged myself in that I made sure that I told enough people I was a Christian that, you know, that there would be enough evidence to convict me of being a Christian. You know, I told people about Christ. I tried to do good things and witnessed and did all those things. In spite of me being fearful of man, I did those anyway because I was scared by Matthew chapter 10 where it says, if you flip, you can flip over there if you want. I got my Matthew 10:32-33 says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. That verse scares me, and I don't want Jesus to ever, not admit me before the Father. So I made sure that I confessed Jesus Christ before men in spite of my fear so that, you know, that I wouldn't be faced with the negative part of this verse. So maybe that's something you might have to do tonight is tackle your boldness. Now, let's get back to the scriptures because I'm really messing up bad here. So notice There's a level of hardness here, and it's, again, different from the first hardness. And notice that this person loves to hear the word. But because you are shallow, you have little endurance. And that's tough to hear, that you're shallow. And one way to tell is that fear that you have when you're before man. You're denying Jesus Christ, and you have a level of fear. It's like rocks in the middle of the field. Now, getting back to that plower, remember the plower, he's sowing seed at the same time he's plowing, and he has to look straight ahead. And he has to look for rocks that he might have plowed up previously. Now, the causes of this type of fear is basically having the wrong or misguided fear. You need to have fear of God more than you have of man. So again, you're like the farmer who is running straight and true, and all of a sudden you hit fear in your walk. You wither because you fear man more than God. Well, if that's the case, let's look at Proverbs, and they'll have it up here. Proverbs 1:29, it basically tells us that you can choose the fear of the Lord. And that's a choice, again, that you might have to make tonight. If you realize that you are fearful before men, then that's like a rock in the middle of the field, and as you're going along, it just suddenly hits you, hit it, and you disintegrate. And it's the fear of man, and it's you need to get a fear of God versus a fear of man, and it is a choice. And I chose to fear God versus man, and fear the Word of God. So that's patient number two. Now, one of the verses that we already covered that. Now, the good farmer, have you ever been up? I drove through Washington and other places where there's lots of rocks and farms, and you'll notice that all the rocks are all moved to the side. In fact, they turn them into fences for the most part. And in Ireland, you'll see that all over the place too, where they cleared all the rocks out and they piled them up and they even made boundaries out of them. That's what you need to do with this fear. You need to look ahead and examine the road ahead where you might become afraid, and dig up that fear out of your life and cast it aside. And again, that's a choice you have to make. It's a faith choice. And hopefully you'll be able to make that choice tonight. So we covered two hearts tonight. The one that was hard from people treading it, and now we've found the second soil now, which has got a little bit of dirt, but hardness in it still. But that hardness is fear, and it's like boulders in a field that are plowed. So look out for that fear and dig it up if you can. Now let's go ahead and look at the third heart condition and look at the signs and symptoms here. Let's read Matthew 13:7. And it says, "And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them." And I think Tony talked about this a lot this past Sunday. Now let's go over to verse 22. It says, "Now he who received the seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Okay. Now notice in the signs and symptoms that the thorns grew and choked the vine from producing fruit. It's the cares of this world, the desires of riches. This person actually begins to produce fruit, but it never makes it to maturity. Now remember what the fruit is. It's that love and joy and kindness and goodness and all those things that we found in Galatians. Again, those things aren't coming to fruition in your life because of these conditions. And the main diagnosis here for this heart condition is there's too much competition. And Matthew 6:24. It says, "No one can serve two masters," and Jesus said this obviously, "for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And so, like I said before at the beginning, I've seen myself through various stages as a Christian. And there's been times where, the cares of this world have choked out the ability for God to produce his fruit in my life. And so, that's a hard thing. And I remember, I'll just tell you a funny little story. I went on a fire assignment, and I was sitting there and I was counting the money, the overtime that I was making on this fire assignment. And I took a sack lunch, and I got one of the candies out of it, and I threw a candy in my mouth. And as I'm counting up the hours and how much I'm making on this overtime assignment, I was chewing those Starburst candies, and I pulled a crown right off my tooth, and I bit down and I blew the porcelain right off of that thing right then and there. And you know that all the money that I made on that fire assignment went to fixing that tooth? You know, it's like that. Life is like that. So we've got to watch out for the cares of this world because it starts to choke out God. And I know that there's several of us that, you know, this is hard times right now. And, you know, we got to make money. We got to work overtime. And you know what? I think I'll bypass Sunday going to church because I have an opportunity to make some overtime. You know, the cares of this world chokes out the Word of God. There's too much competition in this field in your heart to where it's choking out the Word of God to be able to finish that the production of that fruit. And notice that the fruit actually started in this heart condition, but it's the cares of this world that kept it from coming to maturity. So it's important for us to not get too wrapped up in these issues, making money. And I know it's hard, man. It's everywhere you look, someone's out of job, out of work. And, you know, but you still got to have that right balance. You still got to do your daily devotions. You need to do those things. You need to get up early. You need to read the Word, and you need to obey the Word. So the diagnosis again, and this is a tough one for this heart as we look at this condition. It really boils down to an issue of loyalty. As Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, he says, he will be loyal to one and despise the other. It's an issue of loyalty. You're more loyal to yourself and the pleasure of this world and what it has to offer than loyalty to God. Maybe tonight you've understood that. Maybe you realize that the cares of this world have choked out the Word of God. It's keeping you from producing love and joy. You don't have any joy because you're working too much. You know, and you come home and you're tired and you're grouchy. And, you know, you snap at your spouse because you're working too much. Because, you know, maybe you're trying to pay for that boat that you shouldn't have bought. You know, there's lots of those issues. So, and it causes is greed. You know, and Tony talked about having a proper perspective this past Sunday, that we have to have, you know, we have to have the eternal, the end in sight. You know, we have to view through those glasses that this stuff is perishing. It's going away. It's rotting. In fact, some of it's burning up right now. And, you know, it's just, we can't put all our hopes and dreams in this life and in this stuff. It's gonna be burned up. So we might as well work towards producing fruit that, you know, in rewards in heaven that we know rust or moths can't eat it or destroy it. So what's the treatment for this person? And Tony used this verse on Sunday, and I'm going to use it again. But it's 1 Timothy 6:17-19. And I'm not, and I think, can you put it up, Wendy? But what we're going to do is, as we look at this, I'm going to kind of flip-flop it a little bit. And, you know, so the first treatment would be to humble yourself and to be loyal to God first. Notice in this passage it says haughtiness. Humility is one of the first things that you need to look at in the treatment of this heart condition, is to humble yourself before God. The second thing is to trust in God and not your riches. The third thing would be to be rich in good deeds by giving and sharing. And some of us who are not being affected by this fire right now may have some great opportunities here in the near future to do just that. And the fourth thing would be to work for riches in heaven where rust and moths can't destroy it. Okay, so far, and when you look at the three conditions, no one's been producing any fruit whatsoever. One started to, but never came to fruition. And, you know, this starts to sound like more like a mass casualty incident than a doctor's visit. You know, we've got people that are the activities are going, you know, they're running in every direction, but there's nothing going on really fruitful for the kingdom of God. So hopefully tonight you're evaluating that. Now the fourth patient, and this is kind of good news and bad news too, but as we look at the fourth patient, we'll just jump in at Matthew 13, verse 8. It says, "But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Now we're going to look at the other aspect, the explanation. Verse 23, he says, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it." Again, there's that understanding. "Who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. Now again, the fruit is that love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, long-suffering, all of those things. That's the fruit. Now, if tonight you look, you're examining your own heart and you're realizing that, man, I am producing fruit, praise God. And understand, though, that that comes from being attached to Jesus Christ. It comes from that relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. It's His fruit that He's producing in your life and not your fruit. Okay? Have you ever seen an apple tree eat apples? The fruit that you produce is not for you. It's for other creatures to enjoy. So look around yourself and see if there are people that are enjoying the love that you have, the true love, the agape love that God has coming through your life. The fruit is not manufactured. You don't have to stand there. You know, you don't hear the grape vineyards and the orchards, you know, the trees screaming to produce fruit or stressing out to produce fruit. It just happens from the relationship being attached to the vine. And that is Jesus Christ. And the way we do that is daily get plugged in, just like a light socket. Plenty of juice over there in the wall to turn on a light or plug in an appliance, but you got to plug it in. And it's got to stay plugged in, because the minute you unplug it, it don't work. It won't produce heat anymore. It won't produce light anymore. So you've got to stay plugged into Jesus Christ. And you've got to stay committed. And I've talked to some folks about their devotional life, how important it is to have that daily devotion, to get plugged in early. Are you giving Jesus Christ the first fruits of your day or the last fruits of your day? You know, is He getting the best or what's left over? You need to think about that. And your walk is going to reflect based on how you're getting plugged in, whether it's just for a little while. And again, you know, going back to that rocky or that clod of dirt that needs water, I used to demonstrate for firefighters. I was a firefighter for 31 years. I did that for 31 years. Treated those big fires and such. But one of the things we talked about fuel moisture is that, you know, guys would always get upset about, you know, a thunderstorm coming over and raining on their parade, so to speak. And it's like, when you show them that the dead fuel moisture out there, you could dump 2 inches of rainfall in an hour on that fuel, and it won't have any effect whatsoever on that fuel moisture, very little. But if you take half that rainfall and you put it in the form of drizzle over 3 or 4 days, it's gonna soak up and absorb so much more moisture that way. And it's because of the duration. And it's the duration of precipitation. So again, the word is the water, and you know, how long are you spending in the Word? I know we all read scriptures and we're driving and we're hearing, you know, Bible studies on. But when do you sit down and just focus on the Word of God? You know, do you let it speak to your heart? You know, it is so critical and vital, especially in this day and age when the world's coming unglued. The other thing I wanted to talk about, you know, and this is a healthy, good heart. It's producing fruit. It's producing these things. But there's also fake fruit. And you've all seen the bowls of fruit on someone's dining room table where it's the perfect apple and you go to pick it up and, man, it's light and it's plastic and it's fake. It's manufactured. There's no substance in it. And, you know, tonight some of you might be producing some fake fruit. It's not real. You know, you might be manufacturing that love. And you need to evaluate that. Your love is not what God wants to produce. He wants to produce His love through you. And the only way He can do that is if you're plugged into Him. I want to read, and we'll get ready to close here, And by the way, tonight we're not going to do prayer afterwards. We're just going to do a little bit of worship again. But let's turn to John chapter 15 and look at verses 1 through 8. And I'll just read these because they're just awesome, because it talks about the production of fruit. John 15, verse 1, says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. So you've recognized tonight that you weren't in the first three categories. You're actually producing fruit. You have a great relationship with the Lord. You do your daily devotions. You know, you're walking by the power of the Holy Spirit. His love is coming out of your life. Notice that God wants to produce more fruit out of your life. If you're producing 30, he wants to produce 60. If you're producing 60, he wants to go to 100, and so on and so forth. He wants to produce more out of your life. And the way he does that is through pruning. And I don't know how many of you are gardeners out there, but you know what a sucker shoot is? Well, for those of you that don't, it's a branch that starts to take all the resources of the plant, and it never produces any fruit. And what the scripture says here is that our Father, he prunes that we may bear more fruit. So what we need to do in order to bear more fruit is to look at those things in our lives that may be taking valuable resources out of our time, which may be, you know, an activity. You know, maybe maybe it's just watching TV too much. You need that pruned out of your life a little bit. Instead of turning on the TV, why don't you open up the Word of God? But start looking at those things in your life that are taking up valuable resource, and that is time, and we're to redeem the time. And if something is gobbling up your time, give it back to the Lord, and then watch what he does with it. You know, allow him to cut those things out. You know, start praying about all your activities. You know, some of us get so busy, and I think Satan would love the church to be very busy, us running to and fro to do stuff and not really paying attention and sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's, you know, we go back to the Martha and Mary story. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. That, you know, it's our service starts at the foot of Jesus. It's so vital to get plugged into Jesus. So, got to get plugged in. So, evaluate as that fourth patient, doctors. Is that fruit that's being produced, is it real fruit? Is it the fruit that other creatures are enjoying? Or is it the fake fruit? You know, really evaluate that in your heart and life. Now, the last thing I want to look at is Matthew 21:19. And this is a scary verse. It's seeing a fig tree by the road. They'll have it up here. It's seeing a fig tree by the road. Jesus came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, "Let no fruit grow on you ever again." Immediately the fig tree withered away. Man, that's scary. May Jesus come to us and find fruit. You know, think about that. Am I producing real fruit? Is it real fruit? Is it love, joy that comes from him? It comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Tonight, if you've recognized the fact that you have a hard heart and you don't want to have a hard heart, you have an opportunity to change. And that change comes through getting at the feet of Jesus, focusing on his word, reading it daily, letting it soak in, And then for those of you that realize that you have a fear of man, and it's a misplaced fear. You've got your priorities mixed up a little bit in that regards. You have the ability to choose to fear the Lord God. And then there are those who realize that tonight maybe there's a lot of competition in your life and Jesus is getting squeezed out of it. Tonight's the night to make a choice. You know, you can choose, again, to want to be soft. He's there to heal you. In fact, in verse 15, he said, you know, that they refused to turn, that I should heal them. And tonight, you know, really evaluate tonight. Do you want to change? If you have that hard heart, do you want to change? Do you want to become soft again? If you have fear, dig it out, root it out, throw it to the wayside. Fear God. And then if there's competition that's choking out of the Word of God, you got some decisions to make. You need to, like Tony said on this past Sunday, and I suggest you know, get that DVD again and listen to it again, that you need to look at your life through the lens, through the lens of eternity, looking at the end result of things versus what's going on here today, right now. And if you're producing fruit tonight, praise God. Glory to God. Continue to stay plugged into Jesus Christ. So with that, let's go ahead and pray.